I'd like to introduce Rabbi Breidowitz, a renowned international speaker and main Rebbe in our Sinai.
Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure. Normally, I have the honor of addressing your class on a Shabbos, and I wasn't able to make it, so Baruch Hashem, in this hot weather, it was a little easier for me to take a bus instead of having to walk from Malo Dafna. But be it as it may, I understand that this is your last week, and I imagine that for all of you, this has been an amazing year, a year of Hesiris, a year of Devekas, a year of personal growth, and the real big Nisayon that you're going to face is how to keep the inspiration and how to maintain the inspiration when you get back to Chutz Laaretz, if you're going back to Chutz Laaretz. Now, again, I understand that your Nisayon is not, you know, I'm not going to keep Shabbos, I'm not going to keep kosher, of course. You're going to keep mitzvahs, and that's not the issue, and that's not anything I even have to talk about. But the concept is that even if a person is keeping mitzvahs, if they do so without enthusiasm, without geshmak, without hislavos, their avodas Hashem is not really complete. In this connection, I want to share with you a vort from the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third Rebbe of Chabad, a great, great Gadol B'Torah, that was accepted by Hasidim and non-Hasidim as a great Gadol B'Torah. And he makes the following observation. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Balayscha, we learn about the idea of Kohanim and Levim. The Levim are designated to serve Hashem, and from the Levim we take out the Kohanim. So first of all, let me point out a little Ha'orah. Shevet Levi is divided into three subgroups, because Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. Each of those subgroups was given a distinct job. Kahas were the people who carried the Aron HaKodesh and the Mizbeach on their shoulders, and they are called Kodesh Kedashim. Gershon carried the tapestries and the animal hides that were the roof of the Mishkan and that covered the Kreshim on the sides. That was the Avodah of Gershon, and they used wagons for that. And Merari had the physically most demanding job of actually carrying the heavy stuff, the Kreshim and the like. Rav Tzadok explains that since Shevet Levi represents the aspect of Klal Yisrael that is fully devoted to Avodas Hashem, each subgroup represents a distinct Avodah. Pirkei Avos tells us, Al Shleisha Devarim Ha'olam Omed, the world stands on three pillars. Al HaTaira, on the learning of Taira, which is again, that's primarily a male responsibility, but women too have a shaychus, both in the sense of the chizuk and encouragement they give to their husbands and children, and also in terms of your obligation to learn the many halachas and the hashkafos that you have to have for your life. So that's limud haTorah. The second amud is the amud of Aveda, which is karbanos and tefillah, and the third is gemilas chasadim, the loving kindness that we show each other. So Rav Tzadok wants to say, the Aveda of Bnei Kahas is the Koach of Torah. That's why they had the Aron HaKodesh. That's why they're Kodesh Kedashim. Because although the world needs all three pillars, but Torah is the greatest of the three, because from Torah you will come to Avoda and Gemilas Chasadim, because you'll learn what the Ribono Shel Olam wants. So Kahas represents the Koach of Torah. Gershon represents the Koach of Aveda. Now why should that be so? This is a little less clear. But Rav Tzadok explains that Gershon carried the part of the Mishkan that gave the Mishkan its roof, right? The animal hides and the tapestries that covered the roof of the Mishkan. A roof is what converts a structure into a bayis. The definition of a bayis, as opposed to walls, is it has a gog. A gog is the definition of a bayis. And we always find that tefillah is makushar to the concept of a bayis, that God envelops you with his hashgacha pratis, with his protection, gives you a home, as David HaMelech says, ki yitz b'neini b'suko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects me, he conceals me in his sukkah, which is also a type of home with a roof. And therefore, and we find that the Navi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims, that liyasid lavo, the Beis HaMikdash will be a base tefillah. Right, the famous pasuk, ki beisi Beis Tefila Yikare L'chol Ha'amin. So since Gershon is responsible for the notion of bias, Gershon is Makushar to Avaidas HaTfila. So Kahas is the Koach of Torah, Gershon is the Koach of Tefila. Now what about Merari? Why is Merari connected to Gemilas Chasadim? And the answer is, because the Gemara in Sukkah asks the question, what is the difference between giving tzedakah and gemilas chesed? We have tzedakah and we have chesed. What is the difference between tzedakah and chesed? So one of the differences the Gemara gives is, tzedakah is what you do with your money. So I write a check, I gave tzedakah. Gemilas chesed is what I do with my physical time and effort. And gemilas chesed is greater than tzedakah. And consequently, since Merari had the most physical of the jobs, the carrying the heaviest weight, that represents a chesed they were doing for everybody else, and therefore those are those kochos. So when Klal Yisrael is surrounded, when Klal Yisrael is surrounding the Machane Levia, and they're gazing at the Leviim, they're not simply looking at righteous people, but they are trying to internalize the kochos of Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasodim. So remember, envision Machane Yisrael as we're traveling. We have the Mishkan in the middle. And surrounding the Mishkan, we have the Kochos of Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasodim. And around that, on all four sides, we have the rest of the Jewish people, Machane Yisrael, three Shvatim on every side, right? So you have 12 on four sides. And here, there's another point to think about. So we talked about what Machane Levia represents. But let's now look at the Israelite camp, Machane Yisrael. And there's no question that if you learn the book of Bamidbar, one of the things that strikes you is how important the concept of Shvatim is. Every Shevet had its place in the Machane. Every Shevet had its flag. Every Shevet had its Nasi. The Shvatim brought... although they brought the same korban, but every shevet brought its own korban for the 12 days of Chanukah Samishkan. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, every shevet gets its own land. Yisachar lives here. Zevulun lives here. Shvatim are important. The Torah goes to great lengths. Yaakov had four wives, and different shvatim came from different wives. But a question that you might wonder is, why are shvatim bichlal important? Isn't there one Jewish people? Isn't it important that there be achdus? Why do we have to create new divisions? We already have, actually it's an old division, but we have so many divisions. So we need a Reuven, Shimon, Levi might be different, but Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar. Let there be an Am Yisrael. What is this business about Shvatim? And why does the Torah itself make it so important? There's a very, very profound lesson here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly wants there to be achdus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be togetherness. Our Kabbalah Satorah that we had on Shavuos just a short while ago could not occur until Klal Yisrael was Ki Ish Echad Uvelev Echad. And you may have heard over the years, I'm sure you've heard it, the famous pshat in Dayenu, right, the Dayenu, where we say if Hashem would have done this and not that, that would have been enough. So one of the Dayenus is, Ilu kervanu lifnei Har Sinai. If Hashem would have brought us to Har Sinai, and He wouldn't have given us the Torah. Dayenu. Why is that Dayenu? What would have been the tayelas of coming to Har Sinai without the Torah? And one of the many explanations is that at Har Sinai we reach the Madrega of Ish Echad Uvelev Echad. So even if Chas V'Shalom we wouldn't have gotten the Torah, achieving an Achdus and Avas Yisrael is so precious that we would be eternally grateful to the Almighty for letting us achieve this Achdus. We're coming up, not right away, but pretty soon we're going to have the 3 weeks, the Zman of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And remember that the second Mikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Shechina. So certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Achdus, Avas Yisrael, community. But there are two different ways you can create a community. One I will call a melting pot, and the other I will call a salad bowl. A salad bowl. By a melting pot, I mean you bring people together and you try to destroy their differences. You want to make everybody the same. Forgive me for using an unappetizing metaphor, but think of Cholent on Tuesday or Wednesday. It starts off, you know, meat, potatoes, barley, but by the middle of the week, if it's still around, everything turns into one glop. That is a achdus, which is based on giving up that which is unique. That is not the achdus the Torah wants. The Torah wants an achdus where each person has their uniqueness, each person has their beauty, each person has their talent. Each person has something special that they're bringing in Avodas Hashem. And we combine it together. And that's like a salad bowl where you have the tomatoes and the lettuce and the peppers and the carrots, whatever you put in. Different colors, different textures, different tastes. Or you can use a lot of things. You can call it a mosaic. The beauty of a mosaic are the different colors, the beauty of a tapestry. The beauty of a garden is not to simply have one color of flower, but to have differences. So the achdus of melting pot is the achdus of conformity, where you simply squelch yourself and you simply deny your talent and you simply surrender to a greater group. The salad bowl is when it's precisely by the beauties and the differences each person brings that there's something that is created, that is a whole, that is greater than the sum of the parts. This is the Musag of Shvatim. There is one Am Yisrael. Goyachad bi'aretz, mika amcha Yisrael. And all of us surround the Mishkan because that is the focal point of our lives. Looking to Avodas Hashem. But Hashem doesn't want everyone to have the same derech. Thus there is a Yisachar and a Zevulun and a Dan and a Naphtali. Every Shevet had its own beauty, its own derech, its own mahalach in Avodas Hashem. You know, we read last week that all of the Nesiim brought the same korban for the dedication of the Mishkan, and yet the Torah repeats it 12 times. The Torah could have just said, Nachshon ben Aminadav brought all of these korbanos, and it could have said all the other Nesiim did the same thing. Why repeat it again and again and again? It's almost 100 psukim. Actually, if any of you have brothers that are Balei Korei, it's easy for a Bal Korei. It's the same trap for all those psukim. The answer is, yes, externally they brought the same. But each Shevet had unique kavanas. And the Medrash goes through. Let's say, for example, Kafachas Asarazov Malaya Katoris. Every Nasi, on behalf of his tribe, brought a golden spoon which had a weight of 10 shekel filled with keteris. They all brought the same thing, but what Yehuda meant by it was not the same as what Yisachar meant by it. And therefore, the reason it's repeated is because it's not a repetition. Each one brought a distinct korban. So one of the difficult dilemmas that all of us have in life is, on one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does expect us to be the same in the sense that all of us have mitzvos, all of us have obligations. We all have to do the same. We have to keep the Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Kashrus, and we have to do all of these things. So it's not that every person decides on his own or her own, I'm going to serve Hashem my way. If you decide you're going to serve Hashem your way, you're not serving Hashem, you're serving yourself. So of course, there has to be conformity, there has to be structure, there have to be common rules. But beyond that, each person must cultivate their own unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To find the mitzvah that makes their neshama sing, that resonates. The chelek in Torah that belongs to you. The Zohar HaKadosh says, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and there are 600,000 basic neshamas that left Mitzrayim. Kilamai said that there are kashas here. There's much less than 600,000, but the Zohar says this. And each person has a letter in the Torah that belongs to them. And we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say in the end of Shemona Esrei, V'sein chelkenu b'sarasecha. Let us see our portion in the Torah. We're asking to find in the letter. But you understand that mystically, it's not so much a specific letter. Oh, my letter is hey, my letter is shin. It really is expressing a deeper idea. That each person has a unique way that they connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For some people, it might be through their mind, through their thoughts. Others, through the chesed they do. And although all of us have to be generalists, we have to try to do everything. But we also have to be specialists in trying to find what is our unique kekayach. What is it that I can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no one else can? It's quite amazing. In fact, it's unbelievable that every single neshama that exists, that has ever existed, and that will ever exist, has a role in this world that no other neshama was ever able to do or will be able to do. Now, frankly, this is so amazing that I find it hard to believe. I mean, are you telling me that any one of us can do something that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do? Well, yes, that's what it says. I can't understand it. But that just shows a person how unique they are. The kochos that they have. The mission that they have. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to simply become a blind community where we're like the melting pot in which you can't tell the difference between the meat and the potatoes and the barley. But he wants us in the vividness of our colors, the orange and the green and the red. I'm not referring to fashion, sir. I'm just referring to Techunot HaNefesh. And that is really the message of Shvatim. That is why Shvatim is so important. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, everyone has their derech. Everyone has their mahalech. Everyone has their mission. Everyone has their beauty. And it is our job to try to foster that beauty, to discover that beauty, to discover that mission, and to connect ourselves with others who have their beauty and their mission, and together wonderful Avodas Hashem can be accomplished, wonderful Kiddush Hashem. So it is very, very important that you find yourself chaverot, friends, not just to spend time with, again, people, you know, it's good to have friends that you schmooze with and spend time with, but also friends that help you grow in Avodas Hashem. Perhaps they could be the friends you've made in seminary here, or they can be new friends or new connections, but in which you study Torah together, but not just study Torah, but in which you talk about hashkafa problems, problems of life, how to continue growing, how to continue to be inspired. Because it's a real chaval that a person, you know, it's interesting, let me go back for a second. You know, we read last week about the Parsha of Nazir. And Rashi brings a medrash that the reason why a nazir brings a sacrifice, a korban, at the end of Naziris is because the nazir is a sinner because he's deprived himself of wine and Hashem wants us to be able to enjoy pleasures of the world. This is what Rashi says. But you know what the Ramban says? The Ramban says, you know why the nazir is a sinner? The nazir is not a sinner because he became a nazir. That was a good thing. A nazir is a sinner because after he's tasted the high levels of holiness, how can he want to leave it? The sin, the Ramban says, is leaving Naziris. And in many ways, we could draw an analogy. You've tasted here in Eretz Yisrael a different type of life. Especially, you're in such an old world neighborhood, you're a Geula, this is the old Yerushalayim, the old Yishuv, the Yerushalayim Shalmala. And you've seen many, many things that are very, very different even than the wonderful religious communities in the United States, of which I'm very connected myself. But this is still different. This is a world in which the gashmiyus pleasures are simply less important. People pay less attention. So many people are poor, that's one thing, but b'chlal, the whole idea of gashmiyus is a much lesser thing. You're going back to a materialistic culture. A culture of much goodness, much Torah, much chesed, but an environment that is simply not as spiritual. You're giving something up. But like the Ramban says, when you leave that high level of Kedusha, You have to try to hold on to it. You have to be able to sanctify wherever you go. And there's a certain subtle mistake that people sometimes fall into. Sometimes people think that if they're no longer in this highest level of Kedusha, then what's the use of trying to be inspired? They're never going to be the same as here. But you know, if I could quote a secular philosopher, Voltaire once said that the enemy of the better is the best. What does that mean? This is a very profound remark. The enemy of the better is the best, meaning the following. Sometimes, when we're thinking about improving ourselves or doing anything new, we tell ourselves, if I can't do it perfectly, what's the use of trying at all? If I can't be best, if I can't be 100%, don't bother. But that's a big Yetzer Hara. Because even if you're not going to be 100%, 90% is better than nothing, 80% is better than nothing, 70% is better than nothing, 10% is better than nothing. In any possible way that we can improve, the Chovas HaLevavos tells us there is nothing in Ruchnius, there is no accomplishment in Ruchnius that is so small that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not machshev it. It is treasured. It is cherished. You're trying to grow. Will it be the same as here? Probably not. Never. We wait until Mashiach comes, then you'll be back, if not earlier. Hopefully even earlier than that. But if you're not going to be in the perfect environment, you can still make great, great strides in Kedusha, in Avas Hashem, in Yiras Hashem. Never succumb to the Yetzer Hara. And if I'm not in the perfect place, I cannot become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chafetz Chaim has a famous word that when Moshe Rabbeinu is standing in front of the burning bush, in front of the Sna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shal na lecha mi'al raglecha, take your shoes off your feet, stand barefoot, Ki hamakom asher ata imed sham, the place where you are standing, admas kodesh hi, is holy land. Now, what place is that? It happens to be Har Sinai, but it's not in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chafetz Chaim says the Torah is talking to each and every one of us. We sometimes say to ourselves, "If only I would be in a different place. If only I would have a different environment, a different job, a different school, a different family, a different set of friends, then I could serve Hashem. But Nebuch, with my family, with my job, with my school, I can't really serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not in a holy place." Chafetz Chaim says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means when he's telling Moshe, the place where you stand is Admas Kodesh. Of course, if you can improve your external environment, you try to do so. But if you're stuck wherever you might be stuck, you have to know you can find Hashem there. And if you can find Hashem there, you must find Hashem there. Because that which we're able to do, we have a responsibility to do. Okay, so one should not fall to the nisayon that, I can only serve Hashem in this environment and it's not going to be the same, so what's the use? The place where you will be is also Admas Kodesh. And this is kind of a paradox in Judaism. Because on one hand, we can't deny that we have a concept that certain places are holier than other places. Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, is holier than Chutz La'aretz. Yerushalayim is holier than Eretz Yisrael. We have the Kaitel, we have the Harabayas. There is Vadai, a concept of Kedushas Makam. But side by side with Kedushas Makam has to exist the Hakara that you can serve Hashem everywhere. And you can be close to Hashem everywhere. And Hashem is with anyone who lets Him in, right? This is the famous idea. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course, Hashem is everywhere. But spiritually, Hashem is wherever He is welcomed. You open your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He will be there with you, for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Avinu, our Father. He is described as Malkeinu, our King. But do you know, He is also described as our friend. Our friend. The one that we can talk to, the one that loves us, the one that cares about us. The one that is there to support us when we feel weak or depressed or hopeless or helpless. How do I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called our friend? The Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, Re'echa v're'ya avicha al ta'azov. Do not abandon your beloved friend who was also the beloved friend of your father. And that Pasuk is referring to none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bichvodo uviyatzma. Okay, these are some thoughts to think about. I hope it will give you some encouragement, in which you will hold on to this Kedusha in your heart, and it will give you warmth and chizuk throughout the coldness of the Gullus. But at the same time, you have to understand that in your Gullus itself, there is great potential for Aliyah. There's a remnant to this in Yosef's children. Yosef, of course, was forcibly taken from his family. His brothers sold him into slavery. And Yosef not only was separated from Eretz Yisrael, not only separated from his father and mother, not only initially had the degradation of being a slave, but he was in a culture that was immoral, a culture that was tameh, a culture that was mias, a culture that everything the opposite of what he had learned and what he had absorbed, a culture of the greatest tumah. There was no society as spiritually impure as Mitzrayim. And Yosef had to stay in that society. And Yosef had to remain holy. But it's interesting that Yosef had two sons in Mitzrayim. The oldest son was called Menashe. And the younger son was called Ephraim. And look at the names here. What does Menashe mean? Nashani Elokim. God has allowed me to forget. And Ephraim is, God has made me fruitful. So there is a subtlety, and this is a very, very deep and subtle thought. And that is, when you are facing a new challenge, a different type of life, in some ways, you have to forget the old life, like a Holocaust survivor. A Holocaust survivor could not constantly have his mind on what life was like in Europe before the war. Because that would cause a person such depression, they wouldn't be able to go on and rebuild. So you have to kind of forget it to deal with the new challenges. But at the same time, you get your inspiration and your fruitfulness by connecting to that very thing in which there's a certain amount of disengagement. I hope this is making sense. Meaning, as you go on in life, in new stages, you have to let go a little bit to know that you have new challenges. And you can't just keep on saying, oh, if only I'd be here, only be, because then you'll never move on. So Yosef had to forget certain aspects of his prior life to be able to go on. But he had to remember that life to give him the chizuk and the vision to go on. So there's a simultaneity of disengagement and engagement that one has to get involved in whenever there are transitions. Okay, and I think that's part of what you will be going through. And that's very, very difficult. It is very difficult. Because you have to look at the new opportunities in your life as also good and holy and potentially connecting you to Hashem. And you can't always say, it's not the same as here. But you look here to give you your values and your direction and your orientation. Okay? This is one thing I wanted to share with you. But the other thing I wanted to share with you is, after we look at the Leviim as Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, Shevet Levi is separated. They're designated, right? Moshe Rabbeinu literally separates each Levi, lifts them up, puts them down, etc. So I want to mention a halacha. There's a very interesting halacha that the Gemara says in Chulin, but it doesn't give us a reason for it. It just points it out as an observation. And that is, that which makes a Kohen pasul does not make a Levi pasul, and that which makes a Levi pasul does not make a Kohen pasul. What does that mean? A Kohen is pasul to do the avoda, do the service in the temple, or the Mishkan, if the Kohen has a mum, right? A Kohen has a broken leg, cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash. If a Levi has a broken leg, the Levi can still sing and play a musical instrument. So mum is only a pasul for a Kohen and not a Levi. But what pasul is a Levi? A Levi has mandatory retirement. A Levi is allowed to work only until age 50. That's pretty young. Especially when you get my age, 50 is even younger. Right? So a Levi gets disqualified with years. 50. A Kohen, on the other hand, as long as he doesn't have a mum, can work even when he's 90 years old. So, it's very interesting. For a Kohen, the disqualifier is physical health, essentially. For a Levi, the disqualifier is age. So, a healthy Levi cannot work beyond a certain age. An old Kohen that is healthy can work as long as his body is not broken by a mum. What does that symbolize exactly? The Gemara doesn't say. We just know this in the Chumash, but the Gemara doesn't give a reason for it. So this is what the Tzemach Tzedek says. The Tzemach Tzedek says, the Kohen and the Levi represent two different aspects of how we serve Hashem. The Kohen represents the idea of serving Hashem by meticulously following rules every single day without deviation. Those of you that have ever learned about the Korbanos know that the Korbanos are very, very detailed. So many steps, so many procedures. There is no room for improvisation. There is no room for creativity. You must follow the rules exactly, bidiyuk. If there's any little deviation, the korban is pasul, and God forbid, as in the case of Nadav v'Avihu, you tried to change the protocol a little bit, chas v'shalom, there could be death. So the Kohen represents what you might call the meticulous following of rules with no deviation. By contrast, the Levi's Aveda was Shira, Vizimra, singing, playing instruments. Now there, the Torah does not mandate it has to be a certain thing. There, you express yourself with emotion, with feeling, with creativity, with spontaneity. The Kohen's world is the world of action, deed, exact deed. The Levi's world is the world of regesh, the world of emotion, the world of feeling. Each one has a danger, a maila and a danger. In the world of action, as wonderful as that is, you follow everything but deal. Sometimes you lose your feeling, you lose your passion, you lose your emotion. And you simply go through it mechanically. And therefore you need the regesh, the feeling of love of God and fear of God and reverence of Hashem. The Levi's Nisayon is the other way around. The person who has strong emotions might sometimes get impatient with detail. The person might say, why is it important, you know, if I eat, you know, because I, whether if I eat two-thirds of a matzah or a little less. The main point is the kavanah, the main point is the emotion, the main point is the feeling. But that's also wrong, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu told us how we have to act. So the Tzemach Tzedek says the following. He says, for a Kohen, age is not a disqualifier. Because if the Kohen is the one that follows the ritual, then for character, the more years he's done it, the more he's going to follow it. Age is not his problem. The problem is simply physical disability. At some point he becomes physically unable, that's a mum, so that's going to pass away. But in the world of the emotion, it's the other way around. Physical disabilities aren't going to stop you. When your emotions are powerful, you will do things no matter what. I'm sure you've heard over the years about the mother who lifts the car, right? The car is on her child. And the emotions are so powerful, she can lift the car. Although she'll be in the hospital for 6 months afterwards. So what is the enemy of the Levi? Not a physical disability. But age, in the sense that the longer you do something, that's better for the Kohen's perspective, because then you know what to do even better. But you lose your passion. You lose your regesh. So the Levi's danger is habituation by doing something a long time. Age. The Kohen does not suffer from that. The Kohen suffers from physical disability. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek says. But he then goes on and says that the Kohen and the Levi are the people who work in the Mishkan, work in the Beis HaMikdash. But each and every one of us creates a Beis HaMikdash in our heart. Bilvavi, Mishkan Evne. I build a dwelling place for God in my heart. So just as the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan had Kohen and Levi, in the Beis HaMikdash we build in our heart. We have to incorporate within our personality the Kohen and the Levi at the same time. We have to be Kohanim. We have to follow the halachas. We have to learn the halachas. We can't just say almost is good enough. We have to conscientiously, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Kashrus, whether it's Tzinias, which by the way is not only about dress length or sleeve length, it is about a fundamental attitude towards life, and I'm sure you've discussed that at great length. We have to be Kohanim. We can't just say, yeah, these rules aren't so important. But at the same time, we can't just be an empty obsession with detail and detail and detail. We have to work in the world of regesh, the world of feeling, the world of emotion, the world of growing in avas Hashem, in yiras Hashem, in avas Yisrael, in learning to be less egotistical, to try to make ourselves people of rachmanus and love and care and concern. And to accentuate the inner creativity within our personalities as well. Because as I say, Hashem put you in the world not to be somebody else. Because Hashem put you in the world to be you. And you need to be in contact. You know, there is, many of you maybe you've seen this book, there is a great mechaber, Rabbi Summer Schwartz, who writes a bunch of svarim, called Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, about developing a relationship with God. There's a website even too, although you probably don't see the internet, but the books are in Hebrew and in English. Many have been translated in English. But he has a new series, which he actually says comes even before developing a relationship with Hashem, and that is Da Es Atzmecha, or Da Es Atzmech, if it would be for a female audience. That is, to know who you are. Understand your feelings, understand your emotions, understand what makes you tick. For a very simple reason. No person can do a job in the world unless they know the tools. If you're supposed to, you know, work on a computer, you have to know how a computer works. If you're a carpenter, you have to know about a hammer, nail, saw. You have to know what you have, and you have to know what they are. You cannot do your job without having tools and without knowing what those tools are. I mean, if you have a hammer, you don't know that you have it, then you don't have it. So, think about this. We have a job to develop a relationship with Hashem, between Hashem and our neshamas. But if I don't know, and what are my tools? My tools are my midos, my personality, my talents, my abilities. But if I don't know who I am, then I don't know the tools that Hashem gave me to accomplish my mission. How can I do my mission? So you may want to take a look. These are the Da'as Atzmecha, know yourself, know your midos, you know, different things which talk about understanding yourself as a way of getting closer to Hashem. And he says, you need to do that even before you work on a relationship with Hashem. Because if you don't know yourself, you don't know the tools. It's like a carpenter who doesn't know where the hammer or the nails or the saw is. He will not be able to do the job. He knows he has a job, but he doesn't know how to do it because he doesn't have the tools. You are the tools in making that job. So I wish you much hatzlacha and bracha. And even if physically you're going to be leaving Eretz Yisrael, may you take the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael with you, and may it be a light to your neshama, and may you discover the great beauty and Kedusha that you have within. Thank you.